Welcome back. In this lesson, we're turning a clean 808 tail into something much more alive, much more worn in, and a lot more jungle ready. We're talking about that chopped vinyl character, the kind of bass texture that feels like it's been edited on a sampler, dragged across a dusty record, and dropped straight into a dark old school DNB groove. The big idea here is simple, but the execution is where the magic is. We want two jobs happening at once. First, the 808 has to do the heavy lifting down low, so the tune still feels solid on a club system. Second, the surface of the sound needs movement, instability, and rhythmic interruption, so it has that chopped, human, slightly damaged personality. If those two jobs get blurred together too early, the result usually turns muddy or weak. So we're going to keep the low end focused first, then add the vinyl style motion on top. Start by creating a new MIDI track and loading operator. You can do this with Wavetable too, but operator is a really clean way to build a proper 808 style tail from scratch. Set oscillator to a sine wave and keep it simple. We want a monofocused foundation, no unnecessary width at this stage. Shape the amp envelope with a fast attack, a long decay somewhere around 700 milliseconds to 1800 milliseconds, sustain at zero, and a short release. If you want that classic 808 knock at the front, add a small pitch envelope, but keep it subtle. We're not trying to make a trap 808 here. We're building a bass note that can survive getting chopped up later. Now write a short bass phrase. And this is important. Don't overplay it. In jungle and rollers, space is part of the rhythm. Give the sound room to breathe, because the chopped motion will do a lot of the talking. A good starting point is one long note, then a response note, then a variation, then maybe one muted bar or a clipped ending. Think like a sampler operator. Some notes should feel fully played, some should feel truncated, and some should feel like they were re-triggered from the same little fragment. Keep the notes in a low range that supports the sub, usually somewhere around F1 to G-sharp 2 depending on the key of the tune. Once the MIDI phrase feels right, start shaping the tone. Add saturator after operator. Use a modest amount of drive, maybe 2 to 6 dB, and turn soft clip on if needed. The goal is not to smash it. The goal is to give it a bit of edge and density, so it can read like a sampled source rather than a pure synth tone. Then add EQ8. If there's any unnecessary rumble below 20 or 30 Hz, clean that up. If the body feels too woolly, take a small dip in the low mids. And if you need a little more audibility on smaller speakers, a very gentle lift in the upper low mids can help, but keep that subtle. We're preserving weight, not turning it into a mid-range bass line. Now bring in utility and keep the width at zero. This is one of those details that matters a lot. The low end has to stay mono and stable while we're building the character around it. In dark DNB, the bass has to translate everywhere, so keep checking that foundation. If the source gets wide too early, the chopped vinyl illusion stops feeling anchored. Here comes the fun part. We're going to create the chopped motion. Add auto pan first, but think of it less as a stereo effect and more as a rhythmic tremolo generator. Keep the amount fairly low, maybe 10 to 35%. Try rate settings like 1/16, 1/8, or 1/18 depending on the groove you want. If you set the phase to zero, it behaves more like a volume chop than a stereo sweep. You can also skew the shape so the movement feels less smooth and more like a blunt cut. Right after auto pan, add gate. This is where the bass starts to feel edited. Set the threshold so the tail opens and closes in a musical way, not in a random way. Keep the attack very fast, the hold fairly short, and the release somewhere in the 60 to 180 millisecond range depending on how chopped you want it. The point is to let the note hit with authority, then break up into a rhythm that feels like a sampler slicing the decay. A little irregularity here is great. In fact, slight unevenness is what makes the illusion believable. If every chop is identical, it starts sounding like a plug-in effect. If some hits are full, some are clipped, and some are slightly different lengths, it feels hand-edited. Now we add a bit of mechanical instability. This is where the vintage, worn record energy really comes alive. You can use Chorus Ensemble, Redux, or Frequency Shifter, depending on the flavor you want. If you want a faint warble, Chorus Ensemble at a very low mix can be enough. If you want grain and sampler dirt, Redux is excellent, but use it gently. We're talking subtle downsampling or bit reduction, not complete destruction. And if you want a tiny and stable drift, Frequency Shifter with very small movement can give the impression of a worn playback chain or a motor that's not perfectly steady. The key is restraint. The bass should still feel like bass. The damage should live around the edges and especially in the tail. A really strong advanced move here is automation. Let the first part of the note stay cleaner, and let the second half get more degraded. That two-stage behavior is very convincing. It makes the sound feel like it's wearing out as it plays, which is exactly the sort of thing old sample-based jungle often implied. You can automate the dry/wet of Redux, the rate or amount of autopan, or even the gate threshold so different notes have different personalities. Once you've got a version that feels good, print it. Route the bass track to a new audio track set to resampling and record a few bars. This is where the sound stops being just a patch and becomes a real editing object. Zoom in on the waveform and start chopping the tail manually. Cut tiny slices after the transient. Leave some notes intact. On other notes, create little repeated fragments at the end. Nudge some of those chops slightly off-grid so it feels human and not locked to a machine-perfect loop. That tiny timing drift is part of the vinyl illusion. We want the impression of a manual, slightly imperfect edit, not a pristine modern synth bass. If you want extra authenticity, duplicate the audio clip and compare different gain levels between repeats. Sometimes one little repeat can be a touch louder or softer, and that helps sell that idea that you're working with recycled sample fragments rather than a single generated tone. Also, don't be afraid to use slightly different chop lengths between phrases. That inconsistency is a huge part of the character. At this point, it's smart to build a more flexible workflow. Keep both the MIDI version and the resampled audio version available. You can even think in terms of separate layers, one clean sublayer, one chop texture layer, and one dirtier mid layer if needed. That split gives you much more control than forcing one chain to do everything. The clean layer can hold the weight, while the chopped layer provides the movement and grit. That's a much more reliable way to get a bass that hits hard without collapsing in the low end. If you want to shape the arrangement further, automate the character over time. Increase gate threshold in fills, speed up the autopan rate before a drop, bring in a little more Redux for a moment, or open an auto filter on the dirty layer during the second half of a phrase. Those small changes are huge in DNB because they create tension and release without needing to rewrite the bassline. One of the best tricks is to start the sound filtered and half-chopped in the intro, then let it fully reveal itself in the drop, and then strip it back again in the breakdown. That progression makes the bass feel like a sampled motif with a story, not just a static loop. If the bass starts fighting the breakbeat, resist the urge to just turn it down immediately. Often the better fix is to shorten the note length or change the chop rhythm. That's the real jungle mindset. The bass and drums need to dance together. The bass should leave room for the snare, the ghost notes, and the breaks little details. If the bass is masking the drums, the groove loses its snap. Always do mono checks. Seriously, always. The chop texture can be exciting in stereo, but the sub has to survive in mono. That's what keeps the tune heavy on proper systems. And when you compare versions, level match them. Don't let the louder, dirtier version fool you into thinking it's better. Use matched loudness so you can hear whether the change actually improved the groove. For a quick practice round, build a 4-bar loop with a simple 808 tail, no more than 4 notes, then process it, resample it, and make 3 variants, one clean and long, one chopped and obvious, and one more degraded or worn. Arrange them across 4 bars so the loop tells a story: clean foundation, chopped groove, darker variation, then a fill or turnaround. Test it against a jungle break at around 174 BPM and listen to whether it feels like it belongs in the record. That's the real goal here. And that's the core technique. Start with a clean mono 808 tail, preserve the fundamental, add rhythmic chopping and subtle instability, resample and edit the audio by hand, and then automate the character so the bass evolves across the arrangement. Keep it tight, keep it musical, and keep checking it in context with the drums. When it's working, it won't just sound like a bass sound, it'll sound like a chopped up piece of old school hardware history with attitude.